1 John chapter 5. We're going to take a few weeks and discover from God's Word how you and I can operate in faith that overcomes. Not faith that goes through the motions or that just has nice slogans and makes us feel good, but it actually accomplishes something in our world, in our life, faith and trust towards our God. 1 John 5 and verse 4. This is our text. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. Now, faith in who? Faith in God. Faith in who He is. Faith in what He has said. But you know, I want to challenge you, because sometimes when we hear these terms, we don't necessarily believe what the Apostle John wrote. That whoever is born of God, now first of all, we have to qualify who's been born of God. All right? Who are the children of God? It's us, the family of God. If you're here today and you have made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, if you've followed Him, if you're a disciple of Jesus, then you are born of God. You're not just someone who follows the Christian religion. All right? And certainly there are many religions in the world, but the Bible makes it clear there are two families. There's the family of God and those who are not in the family of God. And to become a part of the family of God, we receive the one whom He sent, Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we are born of God. We are in the family of God. And so it is our birthright to overcome the world. Not to fight the world. Not to be angry at the world, but to overcome the world and the world's system and the sin and the curse and the broken. We are to be overcomers. Now, how does that happen? How do we overcome? And if you really ask Christians and you look at their lifestyle, I think sometimes Christians feel, well, I'll overcome when God decides. Because I'm really going through this tough season right now and, you know, I'm struggling with sin, or I'm struggling with the stuff that we see as part of the curse of the law, the stuff that is not for us. And I guess whenever God wants that to be finished, oh, I'll be so happy. The Bible doesn't teach that. How do we overcome the world? Well, there's something that happens. We trust God. Even our faith. Let me read it to you from New Living Translation. For every child of God defeats this evil world. Now, how many of you know, obviously we don't defeat it in our own strength. You and I can't defeat the smallest demon in the legion of darkness in our own strength, right? Remember the seven sons of Sceva? Come out of them whom Christ, who Paul's preaches. They got beat up, stripped naked, and embarrassed. All right? So we can't do anything in our own power, in our own might. But Jesus accomplished a victory for us. And then He gave that victory to us. All right? We are more than conquerors. Because through Him who loved us. All right? So every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. Now, here's the really cool thing. God says He's given to every man a measure of faith. All right, so we have been wired to trust God. Now, the Bible talks about great faith. The Bible talks about little faith, weak faith. All right. So that faith can be developed. It can, you know, in a sense, atrophy. It cannot be used. All right. But we have the ability to trust God. And through that, our trust in Him is the connection to that overcoming power, His overcoming will that He wants for our life. All right. Now, have you noticed that, if you remember when you were born again, all right, can you remember the day? Can you remember the year? Do you remember that? Did you discover that when you came into the family of God, all of your problems did not cease? Did you discover that? All right. And thankfully, you know, at Miracle Life, if we're inviting people to receive Jesus, we don't tell them, receive Jesus and you'll never have a problem the rest of your life. Jesus actually said this. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but what? God delivers us out of them all. Okay. So we face stuff. We face issues. All right. So it's not that we no longer face problems, but we face them differently. Without God, we face them maybe as if, well, I guess this is my lot in life. I guess I'm powerless. I guess I have to accept this. I guess I have to learn to live the rest of my life with a limp and accept whatever has happened to me. We face problems in life as a Christian, but now we face them differently. We face them with faith in God. Even our faith. R.W. Shambach, great revival preacher, was on the radio, and he would always say this at the beginning of his radio program. He said, "You don't have any problems." And I would always think, yes, I do. He said, "You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God." And after a while, I realized, yes, every problem is overcomable. I think that's a word. I'm not sure, but it is now. All right. We can overcome every problem with faith in God. Faith and trust in the God who loves us. All right. So when we read the Bible from cover to cover, do you see that God's people, they face giants. They face physical sickness, the walls of Jericho, devilish attacks, times where there was a lack of material provision. So the people of God, the followers of God, had these situations that happened in their life. Abraham and Sarah were told that I'm going to bless the whole world through your seed, through a child that's going to come from Sarah, birthed by Abraham. And so they tried, well, let's try Abraham and Hagar. That didn't work. That's not the plan. And they tried all these different, and they doubted, but eventually what happened? Sarah herself, she conceived because she judged him who promised that he was faithful. All right. And so they overcame this medical, physical impossibility. How? Hebrews 11 tells us, by trusting God, by trusting him to do the impossible. The children of Israel on the way to the promised land. So it was, you know, the word that it became, the phrase that it became was promised land. Well, why was it called the promised land? Because God, their God, our God, promised it to them. So they didn't just call it something else. They call it the promised land. Well, here's a funny thing that happens on the way to the promised land. They're giants. They're walls. There are big, ugly people standing in the way. And they have swords. And they say, "We are not going to get out of your way." And so, how many of you know God promised it, didn't he? He gave it to them. But did you notice that he did not remove all of the enemies? He didn't just send fire from heaven. Now, we know he has that ability. He did that on a few occasions. All right? He allowed them to take steps of faith and walk into the enemy's camp to obey him and trust him. I wish it wasn't that way. Newsflash, that's the way it is. That's the way God set up this world, is that we trust him. We trust him. We believe him. All right? We're in a world, we live in a world that has fallen. Have you read the newspaper recently? But anyway, it's fallen. They're sin, they're stuff. When God created Adam and Eve, he didn't create them to be sick. He didn't create, he created an incredible world for their needs to be met. But because mankind invited sin, it all got messed up. But we have a Redeemer. And we can trust our Redeemer to do what he said he will do. All right? I love what Kenneth Hagin said many, many times when I heard him. He said, many, many Christians believe that they're going to float to heaven on flowery beds of ease. It just isn't that way, is it? All right? So, we can see from Scripture that the people of God are given an opportunity to respond differently than the world. To respond in faith. Some did, some didn't. We have many great examples of faith in Hebrews 11 and those that are not listed. And we have many examples of those who did not believe and did not trust. All right? And did not enter in. Okay? So, faith in God means that we trust what he said. We are assured of his character. We know his love and we know the covenant that we have with him. We know the promises that he has spoken to us. So we don't despair and we do not ever, ever, ever accept defeat. We never accept defeat. If it is the 89th minute of the game and we're down 5-0, we just look to the sideline for extra time. We play until we win. All right, now, we do have to, now here's important, is we do need to let God define what is winning. All right, so we trust him for what he has said, not outside of what he has said. Okay, so there are typically things in the way, there is typically resistance to what God wants in your life, what he desires. And have you discovered in life, some giants are bigger than others. Some of them really have bad breath and sharp knives. All right. Some are more scary than others. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And friend, I am not talking to you about having a positive frame of mind. Just look at all the good things and tomorrow will be better. All right, that's in the self-help section of the bookstore. The Bible is not self-help, it is God help. How does God help? Because we trust him. We trust him. All right. So sometimes we come up with these phrases and really half-biblical things. Well, all things are possible. That's not a Bible verse. Well, but Pastor, I've sung it before and I jumped. All things are possible. That's not a complete Bible verse. Let's look to where that was said. Actually, Jesus said it. Mark 9:17. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid." How many know the devil is real? He does bad stuff to people. Okay, it's very clear in the Bible. "So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. So Jesus said to them, 'You faithless people.'" What was the phrase he used? "Faithless. How long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the father. "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him." One of the devil's names is Destroyer. Destroyer. "Have mercy on us and help us," and notice this, "if you can." Uh-oh, wrong thing to say to Jesus. "If you can." This is from the New Living Translation. What do you mean, "if I can"? What do you mean, "if I can"? Huh? What did he say? Jesus said, anything is possible. Another translation says, all things are possible. If. If what? If a person believes. So what did Jesus say? If I can. It is not a Jesus problem. It is not a resource of heaven problem. Amen. He is the all-sufficient one. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is our victory. He is everything that we need him to be. Well, God, if... Whoa. Just hear the words of Jesus today. Oh, what do you mean if I can? The if is on you. And what is the if? If you've been perfect, if you've had a perfect record of church attendance, if you've kept all the law, that's not the if. The terms of our new covenant, terms of trust. All things are possible to him who believes. To him who believes. Hallelujah. To him who believes. Amen. So much so that that's one of our nicknames. People call us Christians, happy clappies, followers of Jesus. And what's another word for who we are? We are believers. Don't let it be in name only. Don't be known as a believer and live a lifestyle of if you can. Did you see those giants, Jesus? That Goliath certainly looks big. Be a believer. Be a truster in Jesus. Never a question of God's ability. Faith in God means simply that there is no impossible situation. There's no impossible situation. I just lost my job. Oh, that's tough. My boyfriend just broke up with me after a 7-year engagement. Wow, that is really sad. It is sad. That's terrible. Yes, that's terrible. It is not impossible. It is not impossible. Amen. Fuel goes up. Electricity goes up. Exchange rate goes up. Is that tough? Is that a challenge? Yes. Is it impossible? No. Why? Because all things are possible to him who believes. All right? So one of the keys of our faith towards God is to ascertain what has God said about the challenge that you're facing. Does God have an opinion? What has he said in his holy written word about your giant, about your Jericho, about whatever it is that you're facing? So we have to discover what God has said. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is the breeding ground for doubt. Right? If you can. I'm not sure. I don't know. I've never done this with Jesus before. I don't know. If you're the guys you raised up, your disciples, they didn't really do well. Yeah, I know. Bummer about them, but I'm not them. I'm Jesus. Amen? All right? So, what has God said about what you are facing? Now, first of all, I want to make sure that we understand that we're looking at what God says, not what religious tradition says. All right? Because sometimes we have accepted religious tradition as Bible truth. Well, you know, I've struggled without a job. But after all, maybe God doesn't want me to have money because money is, it's the root of all evil. Not a Bible verse. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, the Bible says. And it is. Right? But we see that God is a provider for his children. An abundant provider, that our needs are met all the time and we're a great blessing to other people. That's the will of God. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells me that. That's what God says. So, but sometimes we accept religious tradition, all right? Well, maybe, you know, I look to God for this healing in my body, but maybe he didn't do it because, you know, he's trying to teach me like the time where Paul didn't get healed when he had a thorn in the flesh. Well, if you understand the Bible, and it doesn't take a whole lot of Bible interpretation, the thorn in the flesh wasn't a sickness. Everywhere in the Bible where you see the word thorn in the flesh, it's a person. It's a person. That those people, the Canaanites, they're like a thorn in our flesh. Paul was talking about a personality. Amen? So we sometimes accept religious tradition and it confuses us and actually breeds doubt instead of faith. Well, maybe I'm being punished for the sins of my youth. After all, God's kind of mad at me for doing this. Whoa. The punishment, the Bible says, because that's where we find our facts is in the Bible. The Bible says the punishment that brought me peace was on him. Substitutionary atonement. So Jesus said, hey, Walker, you know that stuff? Yeah, I got it. I paid a price at Calvary so that the peace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God could be poured out on you because I got in trouble for what you did. The wrath of God was satisfied. And my suffering, my problems are not appeasing the wrath of God. Jesus did it for me. Woo, glory to God. I'm glad I came to church. All right. So our faith is not based on religious tradition. Our faith is also not based on our wishes. Our wishes. And when I sometimes talk to Christians and I find out, hey, what are you hoping changes? Well, I really want this to change. You know, I want to get married. Okay, well, your desire actually is a God desire. It lines up with him. So what is the basis that you want to get married? Because I want to. Well, and what else? Because I really want to. That is not the basis of faith. It can be the spark of faith. It can be what drives you to the scripture to find out what God says. All right? So the basis of faith is not your desire. It's not your wish. All right? Again, some might even be in alignment with God. How many know most people who are suffering from sickness, physical sickness, do you say, you know, do you wish to get better? Well, yeah. That's why I went to the doctor. That's why I'm at the hospital. I wish to get better. All right? So that's a good place to start. All right. But here's the problem. A wish is not grounded on evidence. It's not grounded on fact. Okay. It's not grounded on any reason that it is going to change. All right. I wish I could jump higher. The tall guy plays basketball. I can't dunk. It's a shame. It's always been a shame. Well, I wish. Well, wishing doesn't do anything. All right? Wishing is not faith. But sometimes people think it's faith. All right? I wish my marriage would get better. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're not accepting where it is. But have you believed God yet? Have you trusted God yet? No, I'm just kind of wishing. All right? And many churches, ministries, conventions are really centered around what I call wish celebrations. It's a coming. Woohoo! It's a coming. Everybody stand up. It's a coming. Woohoo! It's coming. Any day now, it's going to be better. Based on what? It's going to be better. And I'm happy about it. That's a wish celebration. I see November as your breakthrough month. I see it as your breakthrough month. Really? Well, I wish that I had a new job. I wish that I was married. I wish all these things. Really? You see breakthrough as my November? Awesome. Your unbiblical statement matches up with my wish. So, woohoo! No faith has been expressed toward God. Because faith in God is based on His Word. It is based on His Word. It is not based on November is your breakthrough month. All those who have stood against you shall whatever. You know? Oh, I would love for that to happen. I wish for that to happen. And woohoo! And guess what? On December 1st, you wake up and there hasn't been a breakthrough. Maybe you've broken through to other levels of despair. Yeah, you broke through the wrong way. Proverbs says this, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Oh my, and then we run to this and we run to that. And we're hoping and, oh, will this happen? All right. The problem is we haven't based what we want to happen on evidence. On evidence. Faith that overcomes, because the Bible says we can have that. Faith that overcomes does not have confidence in wishes. It has confidence in what God has said. What God has said. What He has said from His Word about my situation. Hebrews 11:11. We mentioned this. It was by faith that Sarah was able to have a child. Now, would it be just as biblical to say it was by the power of God that Sarah had a baby? That would absolutely be biblical. All right. But that wasn't the emphasis that the Holy Spirit was bringing out. By faith, even Sarah was able to have a child. Everybody say, even Sarah. Say, even me. Even you. I mean, it's kind of sad that, you know, we have to say, even Sarah. All right. Even you can have a job. Yeah, even you. Right. You stole money. You've been lazy. Huh? You quit. Or it wasn't your fault. Man, you grew up without parents. You had to stop at grade 7 because there was no money to finish school. Even you, even Sarah. It doesn't matter how impossible it is. What do I need? Faith. Faith in God. Faith in what He said. It was by faith that Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and too old. So there was one set of evidence. It was the physical evidence. But she believed that God would keep His promise. What did she believe? In her wishes? I think I can. Woo, woo, woo. November's my month. Saw it on the internet. November's my month. No. She knew that God had said something. She was aware. She heard it. And eventually what she heard got into her heart. Faith was birthed. Amen. Because how many know the first few times she heard it, she laughed? Right? God said, what's so funny? I don't think it's funny. Right? But eventually she stopped laughing and she started believing. And she had a baby. And through Isaac, here we are today, grafted into the covenant of God on the earth. He is faithful who promised. God had said something. And faith always happens, or the potential for faith always happens after God says something, not before. All right. Numbers 10:29. All right. Moses has taken 2 million stiff-necked, idol-worshipping, fornicating people, complaining people to the promised land. All right. You'd think people would want to get out of slavery, but sometimes they don't. And so that's why he gives people a leader. Okay. So Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Hey, why don't you come with us? Because we're going to this place. It's not called Dubai. It's not called Cape Town. It's called, we like to refer it as the place that God said He'll give to us. That's what we've termed. That was the term. I will give it to you. Come with us and we will treat you well. Why? For the Lord has promised good things to Israel. The Lord has promised. I will give it to you. Moses was aware of it. He believed it. And so he started walking that way. He walked that way for 40 years. Amen. It was a frustrating journey because not a lot of people wanted to go with him. All right. But God gave us this land. The basis of faith is what God has said. Not your wish. Not your wish. Not your hope. Not your aspirations. I really want it to be this way. Luke 7:7. Luke 7. This was a Roman soldier who was a good guy. And he treated the Jews well, which was kind of different than a lot of the other Roman soldiers. So he was a decent guy. And he had a servant at home that was sick. He heard that Jesus healed people. So he wanted Jesus to come to his house. Or he wanted him to heal his servant. Therefore, this is the centurion talking to Jesus. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word. Say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. So he believed that Jesus could say that. Okay? When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. This guy didn't grow up in the synagogue. Now, this is amazing. And those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. Well, Pastor, but Jesus isn't walking through our town today. All right. But you know what Jesus did do? Is all of the promises towards you, he had it written down. He had it written down. And there is a spiritual covenant, a spiritual constitution that has your name on it. And when you discover that Jesus said it, then you can trust him. Just speak the word only, Jesus. Amen. So believing what Jesus says, Jesus called, that's great faith. Great faith. Let's look at another example. Luke 1:37. Luke 1:37. So Jesus is going to come into the world and it is going to be a new way. Someone is going to give birth. A woman is going to give birth who is a virgin, who's never been with a man. And she's going to give birth to a human baby. All right. Something they failed to mention in health class. Right? So this is absolutely impossible. Impossible. All right? So the angel is giving this instruction to Mary. Say, hey, God's chosen you. The Messiah is going to come from you. All right? And she's listening. She's saying, well, how's this going to happen since I've never been with a man? All right? And the angel, which is just a spokesperson for God, they don't make up their own stories, all right? So this is God speaking through this angel, all right? And so the angel says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Oh, this is going to be with God. It's not going to be with a man. God's going to bypass the husband with God. Oh, so what does she say? Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to what? Your word. Let it be unto me according to your word. What you say, God, yes, please. That's what I'm going to be having. All right. And the angel departed from her. All right. Now, I find it very, very interesting in this text that the angel didn't say, oh, and by the way, Mary, you really don't know this, but you're pregnant. And we thought we'd tell you after because, it's quite a shock. But let me explain the whole thing to you. No. The angel didn't say that. Mary got pregnant after. Everybody say after. After she believed. After, not before. for you will give birth. She had to say, okay, got it. Was it God's plan? Was it God's idea? Absolutely. It wasn't Mary's idea. It wasn't Mary's power. But she said, let it be. Let it be unto me according to your word. God's waiting for people all over the world. He's waiting for people in this auditorium to say, Father, let it be unto me according to your word. According to your word. Not what my mama wants. Not what my wife wants. God, what you say. Let it be unto me according to your word. That's overcoming faith. Romans 10, 17. So faith comes by hearing. Well, Pastor, I would love to have that kind of faith. Oh, man, it'd be so fun to be like Moses or Sarah or Abraham. Can you give me some faith water? No, it doesn't come in water. Pastor, can you lay hands on me and impart faith? No, that's not how faith comes. How does faith come? How does it come? Hearing what? What God says. Hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. Moses heard it. Mary heard it. The centurion said, just speak the word. I just don't want to hear it. Amen. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Faith doesn't come by an encouraging sermon. You are going to make it. I'm so proud of you. You keep fighting. Don't give up. You can do it. That's not where faith comes from. You might feel a little better, but you got to get the word of God on your situation. You got to know what he says. So faith comes from God's word. It doesn't come from thinking happy thoughts. You know, now people, you know, atheists feel bad about, you know, let's pray for Haiti or let's pray for this situation. And so they feel bad that they're not praying. So now atheists say this, literally they say this, sending thoughts. I don't know about you, but my thoughts tend to stay in my brain. I've tried to send them to my wife all the time. She never receives them. Sending thoughts. No, you can't send thoughts. You can't just get happy. You got to know what God says. So faith comes by hearing what God says. And ignorance of what God says is one of the greatest barriers to overcoming faith. It is a barrier. Okay? Uncertainty about what God says. Well, yeah, but... I'm not so sure. Okay. That also leaves us second guessing. It leaves us in the land of wavering, as the Bible says. James says, when you're asking for wisdom, ask in faith. Why? Because he gives what? Wisdom. But don't let that man doubt, because he's like a person at sea tossed by the waves. There's doubt. And actually he says, don't let that guy think he's even going to receive anything from God. But I thought God wanted me to have it. Yeah, but you're not going to get it. Why? Because you're in doubt. Well, but if God wants me to have it, then I'll just have it. That is not the story of the Bible. It is not the story of the Bible. Okay? So don't doubt. Discover what God says. Discover what God has said about the problem you're facing or the desire that you have. All right? All right. So again, sometimes, you know, say, this is my year. This is my year. Hallelujah. This is my year to get married. All right. Well, again, what are you basing it on? And if you're basing it on your attractiveness, okay, if you're basing it on your education, if you're basing it on your collection of exotic cars, you're not basing it on the word of God. All right? So God, here's just a few things that God says. He says it's not good that man should be alone. Well, God, okay, I don't particularly like this. You don't think it's good, so I agree with you. Okay, good. So we're in alignment here. All right? Because if you agree with sin, then you're opposing God. Right? So, all right, so at least I know I'm in line with God's word and his desire. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Okay, so it's a good thing. Brother didn't find a good thing. My cousin didn't find a good thing. He's married, but you said, God, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So I'm reprogramming what I think about marriage, and I'm believing what you think about it. And then you said, Lord, you said, no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly. So you want it, I want it, you said it. So I'm basing based on your word. So what do? The first thing you do is you get it settled in your heart. You get it settled in your heart. All right? Because when you're believing something for the first time, it seems weird. All right? So if you've worked most of your adult life, if you've been employed or you've run a business that pays you a profit, that's not very weird to you. All right? But someone who's never experienced that, it's hard to grasp that that's even possible. All right? So you let God's word settle in your heart, and then you act and live in faith. Because James says, right, faith without works, corresponding action, it's dead. So I live in expectation. I act as if what God says is coming to pass. So I might as well go look at reception halls for my wedding. Yeah, because it's happening. Oh, it's happening. It's happening. Now here's the thing with faith. You don't necessarily put a date. God's calendar is very different from our calendar. That's sometimes, well, it's usually frustrating. But having to know his calendar is better than your calendar. Okay, it's way better than your calendar. So yeah, go look at reception halls. Try on some dresses. Yeah, try on some dresses. Guys, can find a suit, you know. Purple with white lapels. And we're going to rock this thing, man. We're going to. Huh? Yeah. You're living in expectation, right? It's happening. So I'm acting that way. Oh, I don't want to be disappointed. No, 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 no. That's not faith. God says, Abram, here, we gotta help you out here. I'm calling you father of many nations. Father of many nations. So he goes down to the place where they have ID cards. I need to change my name, please. Fill out the form. Triplicate. 100 kwacha. Yes, Abraham. Oh, congratulations. When did Sarah have a baby? Oh, no, she hasn't had a baby. But you're calling yourself father of many nations. Yeah. God calls those things which are not as though they were. He calls them. He calls them. So all I'm doing is agreeing with God. He calls me Abraham, so I'm a father. Get used to it. Where's the baby? God called it. I agree with him. I say it. I expect it. I buy the pram. I have it ready. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. I'm going to finish my degree. I'm going to check on the courses. I'm going to find out how much money it is. I'm getting married. So let's see, guys. I'm going to need to lose a little bit of weight. And it might be good to have a job. Yep. Because when I meet her, I'm going to have this awesome job. So I'm getting ready. I'm not waiting for it to happen. I'm expecting it to happen. And I live that way. I talk that way. That's overcoming faith. Faith that overcomes the world. Amen. Now, here's the deal. People who are biblically illiterate, and you might be a PhD from a real school. Like you actually went to courses and you got a PhD. That's different than today's world. But anyway, but you can be very smart, very learned, and yet you can be biblically illiterate. You don't know what God says. All right. So again, people who are biblically illiterate, run to anyone where my wish can be lined up to whatever they're promising. Okay? There's a secret breakthrough anointing at this meeting. Woo! I'm going to get there. I'm going to get my breakthrough. Oh, it's this prayer. This prayer has got it. All right? This dude, whatever his name is, okay, and all of his other names, all right, when he says it, ha ha, just wait. Because that guy is the one. And he actually prayed for some water, and he put it in the water. And so you can drink it. You can make your enshima with it. You can sprinkle it on your husband's pillow. You can put it in your car's radiator. Oh, and I tell you, it will happen. Based on what? Oh, based on the water. Oh, it's fantastic. This has got, it's in there. Well, I wish it. I want it. Let's do it. That's biblical illiteracy. Biblical illiteracy. Okay? Faith begins where the will of God is known. F.F. Bosworth, great, great Christian author, preacher. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Doubt and unbelief thrives where there is uncertainty about God's will. God's word is his will. Now, where am I going to be living 20 years from now? Well, that's not in the Bible, is it? Okay, so we should have a degree of uncertainty. All right, well, one thing I can know, I'm going to be alive. I'm going to be doing the works of the Lord. I've got Bible on that. Amen. Well, he's never promised you the next day. Actually, he did. He promised me the next day. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Well, you might, what if like your cousin, sorry. I've got God's word. I've got his promise. Devil, shut up. I'm stopping your mouth because I'm not ignorant. It's not based on my awesomeness. It's not based on a prophecy. It's based on what God Almighty said. Amen. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? And will he not do it? Doubt and unbelief answers that question. Yes. He has said it and he won't do it. Faith says, God will do what he said he will do. Amen. All right. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. No referendum, no amendments, no change needed nor necessary, because it was not made with human hands. It was God breathed. Oh, and he spoke it to us, and it is settled in heaven. So what God has said about your life, it's settled. It's settled. It's settled. It's settled in heaven. Faith gets it settled in my heart. It's settled in heaven. Now, oh, I got these ideas and this goofiness, and oh, it didn't happen to my family, and oh, no, all the things I've seen. And so that's why the Bible calls faith a fight. And it's not fighting the devil. All right. You know the strongholds? Strongholds? Going up to the high places to rip the devil's lips off. Huh? We're not going to the high places. The strongholds, the Bible says, are in our mind. They're in our mind. We cast down every knowledge that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Ah, you'll never get married. After all, you're 29. Who wants to marry a 29-year-old? Even Sarah. Even you. Hallelujah. You can be 29, 39, 49, 99. Go get a wedding dress. Hallelujah. What has God said? What has God said? 2 Corinthians 1:19. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. You know who does? We do. Right? He's the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preached to you. And as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. Does what? What I wish? What he says. What he says. What he says. Well, I don't know what he says. Buy a Bible in the bookshop. Read it every day. If it looks like a promise, circle it and say, that one's mine. That belongs to me. What does he do? For all of the promises have been fulfilled in Christ. Not in you, not in your works, not in your tithing, not in your ability to bind the devil. Huh? Or the ability to stay awake from an all-night prayer meeting. That's not how God says yes. He says yes through Christ. With a resounding yes, and through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. He says yes, all we do is say, I believe it. Amen. You know what the word amen means? So be it. That's exactly what Mary said. Well, I'm not sure how this is going to happen. Oh, but with God, all things are possible. What did she say? Amen, amen. Let it be. So be it unto me, as you have said. As you have said. Not what the doctors say, because they're going to tell me, Mary, you're crazy. Sarah, they're going to tell Sarah, you're crazy. All right? Your kid's off of drugs? That's crazy. What has God said? All of my sons, all of my daughters, all of my children shall be taught of the Lord. Great shall be their peace and their prosperity. Great will be their finished end. Oh, so it's not just my wishes. It's what God has said. So I say, I believe, and I act as if what God said is real. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. Amen. We walk, we live, we decide. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you know what the deceiver is doing all the time? He hasn't changed his tactics. He found Eve. And it was evident she didn't really understand what was said. Okay? And what did the deceiver say? Did God really say? We found the book of Judas. Jesus lived in Turkey with Mary Magdalene. Did God really say that Jesus raised from the dead? Well, if he didn't, we're lost, Paul says. Did God really say? The devil's greatest battle is always against the accuracy and the truth of God's word. And if he can cause you to think that this is not true, he's won. And all of these promises that already say yes, you will never say amen to. You'll never say, so be it unto me. Amen. So I get the promises in my heart. Faith is trusting God, believing that I'm qualified because what Jesus has done and what he has said. So I go from wishing to knowing, and from knowing to believing, and from believing to acting. Acting. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'll mature. I'll stop acting like a 13-year-old boy when I get married. No, 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 no. Just start acting that way now. Start acting that way now. Not if you're 13. That's kind of hard to do, all right? But I'm talking about 33-year-olds who act like they're 13. Amen. Hallelujah. 40 hours a week is too much to be playing FIFA. It's too much for a 33-year-old. That was the Holy Ghost. So I understand God's word clearly. I believe it deeply. All right? I realize what God's word says. I believe his promises. I believe I'm in the family. I believe that Christ has actualized these promises for me. Amen? And I start thinking, saying, acting, living that way. Hallelujah. Go ahead and just call me Father of Many Nations. That's how I roll. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you made it by faith so that it could be through grace. Father, we thank you so much that we cannot earn your blessings. We cannot earn the things that you've said to us, Father. We simply can't make that payment. And so, Father, we come and we buy without money. Father, we trust you, not because we're good, because you're good. Your promises are yes and amen. Father, thank you today that we take another step towards discounting and disbelieving the devil's lies about us and towards us and about our future. And we trust you, Lord. Oh, we trust you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord. I pray for those, Father, Lord, who could get weary in well-doing. Father, I pray for those, Lord, today that, Lord, with all their heart, Father, they're doing everything they know to trust you. Father, thank you that today they realize that you're faithful. Oh, that you're faithful. And Lord, that through faith and patience, we can inherit the promises. Your promises. The promised land. The promised life. The promised family. What you have said about us. Father, our promised fruitfulness. Our promised ministry. Ability to help other people, Father. Thank you, Lord. We trust you today. Right now, just I want you to just whisper under your breath. Oh, and maybe where you've let some things die, to just say, Father, I trust you. Oh, I trust you. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And today, let him just hear that sweetness off of your lips. Father, I believe you. I trust you. Oh, I do, Lord. I do, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, Father, yeah, my mind has been playing games, Father. Yeah, I have had doubts. I have, Lord. But Father, today, I trust you. You've been so good. Lord, you bring that situation so far, you'll bring it all the way to the end, Father. Oh, yeah, and that too. I trust you, Lord. I trust you because you're faithful. You said in your word that you would do it. So I thank you today. I thank you today. Just right now, just everywhere in this auditorium, just be trusting God. Be thanking God. Be looking to God. And while you are, with every head bowed and every eye closed, the first step of faith, the first part of this wonderful journey that we live for the rest of our lives, is to believe that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus came for me. He died for me. His death, his resurrection was enough. Maybe you've been a pretty good person and you've been religious, but you realize, you know what? That wasn't enough, but what Jesus did is enough. Maybe you're here today and you realize, boy, my life has been so messed up and I've done the same thing. It could have been 100 times. His grace is enough. His grace is greater than your sin. And today you can be in the family of God because Jesus paid a price. You can believe that today. Believe the gospel. Believe what Jesus did for you. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, the Bible says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord. And the Bible says, you shall be saved. So it's not my promise, it's God's promise to you. If you're here in this place and you realize, I've never done that. I don't know where I'm going when I die. I know I haven't been good enough, but you can have assurance. Today, if you are a backslidden Christian, you're a prodigal, come home. Come home. He'll forgive you because he said he will. If you're in this place and you say, Pastor, I need to be born again. I need to come home to God. Wherever you are, simply right now, lift up your hand. Wave it at me. Just wave it at me so I can see it. And say, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I need Jesus. I need to be born again. I trust him today. God bless you. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Who else? Say, that's me. I need to be born again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Over here. Thank you. Fantastic. Well, let's all stand to our feet. All of us, let's stand to our feet. We just want to celebrate this incredible step of faith that's about to happen with these folks. Let's give everybody that lifted up your hand, just come forward. I'm going to pray with you. God's going to do a miracle in your life. Just come. Oh, let's give them a big hand. Let's let them know we're cheering them on. Thank you, young lady. Maybe you're thinking now, man, I should have lifted up my hand. Just come. Just come. Give your heart to Jesus. He loves you so much. All right. Wonderful. You got to. There you go. Now, if I wanted you to have that, you would just reach out and get it, wouldn't you? All right? And so that's what faith is we're reaching to God for the promises that he's already given to us, all right? To be forgiven and to be born again. Quick, quick, quick. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Hallelujah. All right. What I'd ask you to do is just lift up one of your hands towards heaven. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe Jesus loves me. He died for me. He was raised from the dead. I give you my life, the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. You forgive me. You cleanse me. You make me a new person. I believe I'm in your family now. In your name I pray.